Welcome to Health Hats, learning on the journey towards best health. I'm Danny Van Leeuwen, a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege living in a food oasis who can afford many hats and knows a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about very little. Most people wear hats one at a time, but I wear them all at once. We will listen and learn about what it takes to adjust to life's realities in the awesome circus of healthcare. Let's make some sense of all of this. Often, lately, listening and reading about people coping with COVID-19 makes me weary, weary, weary. Pent-up grief, draining sadness. I'm building more COVID-free time into my days, especially first thing in the morning and the last thing before I go to bed. Instead, I'm reading Lord Peter Wimsey's short stories by Dorothy Sayers, a Jack Reacher tale by Lee Child, an Avenue of Mysteries by John Irving. Mindless, not mindful. Thankfully, talking to my friend Sarah Lorraine Snyder enervates and uplifts me. Not mindless, not sad, hopeful. If you follow my podcast, you might remember Sarah from my podcast series on young adults with complex conditions, transitioning from pediatric to adult medical care. We've heard from Sarah and her mom, Alexis. I'm grateful Sarah agreed to satisfy my curiosity and share her experience in the COVID-19 world. Sarah Lorraine Snyder, I love that I'm talking to you again.
I enjoy talking to you as well. How are you?
I'm good. I guess I'm a little frazzled. You know, my I feel like my stress threshold is lower, higher, I don't know which it is, meaning that sometimes I feel like I'm just going to cry over something stupid.
Yeah, I feel that. That's what everyone's feeling like these days.
I was talking to somebody earlier about, you know, managing uncertainty. And, you know, right. I think one of the things about people like us who have a chronic thing going on is that our sense of what to expect in the future is a little less certain than right. the average person who just assumes that everything's going to be hunky-dory, you know, right. like forever. And I feel like, well, we kind of realize, well, not so much.
Right.
I feel like, in a way, I have more resilience because I'm accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. But it's still, this amount of uncertainty is crazy making.
Yes, definitely.
So how has this COVID-19 insanity been affecting you?
It's definitely had ups and downs. I feel like the way that I reacted to quarantine and isolation was definitely different from a lot of the people surrounding me. I think in the immediate, when it first arrived in my town, I just was freaking out and I was so upset because I'm never going to see my friends ever again. Everything's going to change. And for, you know, the first week or so, I was definitely, you know, not at my best.
Okay.
But then as time went on, I adjusted and I got used to it. And I guess I accepted that this is what's happening and, you know, just taking everything one day at a time.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people at first were just accepting of it, like, okay, well, this will blow over soon. And now everyone's feeling stress of it all because, you know, school's canceled, everything's closed and for an indefinite amount of time.
Right.
So I feel like I reacted the opposite
of
how most people did.
So
opposite way.
Yeah, yeah.
I was upset and then fine, and everyone was fine and then upset.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Some of the milestones for you are set off. Like, weren't you going to the prom with your boyfriend?
I was. Yes.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of things got messed up. Junior prom and senior prom have both been canceled. Graduations in the air, you know, for all of my friends that are seniors.
Was there like a period before there was quarantine and schools were closed where you and your mom and dad were trying to figure out what did this mean for you? And, you know, did you have to take different actions because you're more susceptible?
Not really. It was weird when COVID-19 first started spreading, you know, on the other side of the globe. Mm-hmm. Everyone over here was just like, oh, you know, it's not that bad, you know, right now it's just like the flu and not a lot of people are dying. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those kids that was like, yeah, everything's gonna be fine. But then as time went on and the virus progressed, it traveled over to the U.S., I don't know. I feel like we were still didn't understand because the virus hadn't picked up to the point where it was, you know, as catastrophic as it would be for a person like me yet. Mm-hmm. So it really didn't start to affect how I was going about life and, you know, planning things until it was, you know, knocking at our door.
Okay. Are you doing different stuff like in terms of, you know, I know you see a bunch of doctors and you take medications and do I remember correctly you have an infusion that you get?
No.
No. Okay. So how has that stuff changed?
I mean, luckily, I haven't had a lot of doctor appointments scheduled during this time.
Oh, okay.
There was nothing that we had to cancel or do telehealth. All of that is okay. It's more so the parts of like normal life of, you know, like seeing your friends, going outside that have really changed.
So are you going outside?
Yeah, we try to go for a walk, you know, just around my house once a day. But, you know, the weather is not always the nicest. So, you know, there are some days where I don't walk for like a week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that must feel weird.
For almost a week. Yeah, it is weird, especially since like going outside and like being in nature is something that I've enjoyed since I was such, you know, a small child.
Right.
But yeah. And, you know, I'm obviously not seeing any of my friends in person.
Right.
So that was definitely a shift as well.
Yeah. You know what I miss is hugging people.
Yes, I agree. I can't even love my cats anymore because apparently now they can get it.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's seriously annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you found new ways to do stuff that you know, normally do since this pandemic began?
Mostly. I don't know if it's a new way of doing it. Well, some of it's new, but it's more of doing it. I play way more music and do a lot more art than I think I ever did during quote unquote normal life.
Right.
I have.
So play music, meaning listen to music or play the guitar or sing?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Yeah. All of the above, but especially playing guitar.
Yeah.
I have been able to be a part of a lot of virtual events. I am participating in a virtual music festival.
Seriously, how does that work?
Yeah. So everyone sends in a video and they're making episodes. Oh. And they're releasing them every couple of weeks. And mine's going to be in the next episode. So it'll be dropping in a couple of weeks, which is very exciting.
So it's a series of solo performances?
Yeah, it's like a series. And in each video, there's probably 5 to 10 performers.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of us. It's all of the kids from my high school, you know, all of us that do music and go to shows together. So it's fun to see everyone that way. Yeah.
I've been getting together with this guy that's in the blues funk band I play with, and he's been mm-hmm. using Audacity to lay down some tracks. So he plays percussion and he has a synthesizer, and yeah. I've been trying to learn to use my Barry sax as a bass instrument. He sent me, you know, this Audacity file with, I think, a click track and then 4 musical tracks. And then I'm gonna, you know, lay down a Barry bass part and a Barry improv part. And so mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous about it, but, you know, I mean, you know, what's the worst I can be is terrible. And so we'll see. But it is kind of interesting doing that. So what else are you doing differently besides the music?
Yeah, I've also been in a couple of virtual open mics and poetry readings.
All right.
Yeah, lots of virtual art. I've also had a lot of time to look into colleges. I had a college interview last week, and I have another one with the same college this week.
Wow.
But as going about things differently, you know, just in like normal things, I never, you know, go to stores. I never go anywhere with people, you know, in the house basically 24/7.
Right.
Lots of hand washing if I touch anything that's been out of the house, and lots of sanitizing, you know, my phone, my parents' phones, you know.
Right. So are you getting along with your parents?
Yeah. It's actually going, you know, better than a teenage kid stuck at home with just their parents could expect. I don't know. It's going pretty smoothly, and we're...
It's weird
because we haven't, spent this much time together since, you know, I was like a baby, and I obviously don't remember that.
Right. Yeah, well, it's my wife and I, and yeah, we're getting along great. And thank God, you know, I just think, wouldn't it be, you know, being stuck in a house with somebody you don't really like or that you found really annoying? Like that would be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said you were doing poetry and art. So do you have any clips of you reading your poetry that you'd like to share that I could put on the show notes?
Oh, yeah. I don't have anything, you know, published, but I do have just videos and recordings of my
poetry. I could, and songs. If you don't mind, I would share them on the show notes, and people would get a sense of your many talents.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. All right. So what do you think, you know, I mean, it's only been, 6-8 weeks. And do you think that there's stuff that's changed that you would want to keep doing once things opened up again?
Well, I know that I'm going to have to now always be more careful about washing hands, more so than I ever was, and all of that, sanitizing things, because, you know, this isn't just going to up and leave one day. It's going to probably have season. Yeah. But we can only hope that it's going to be, you know, nicer next time. So I'm definitely going to have to make, you know, be more cautious about making sure everything's clean and, you know, washing hands before you do anything.
Right.
But as for just things that I've started to do, mm-hmm. I mean, I at least play a lot of music and do a lot of art, you know, just regularly in life right. to, you know, keep up, you know.
Yeah.
My happiness. But I guess that's always going to be important to me. So I will definitely still do a lot of music.
Right. Right, right, right.
Now, more than ever, push the big pink button and record the conversation with your clinician. Read the transcript or listen to clips when you get home. Check out the app at abridge.com, ABRIDGE.com, or download it on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Record your healthcare conversations.
So when you, I'm sure I've asked you this before, but you know, I don't remember. So what are you going to study in school when you go to college?
Yeah, I want to study to become an expressive arts therapist.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's just
it combines
wonderful.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I'm actually speaking with a college that has that program, my top choice, this week. I'm speaking with some of the faculty in a part of that program.
Oh, Sarah, that's
to learn
great.
More about it. Yeah. It's very exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think when you have lived experience and passion and curiosity, that's a magic combination. So that's good. Good for you. So how are your friends managing?
They're doing okay. My closest friends that live near me are all seniors, unfortunately. So, you know, a couple of them were those, you know, seniors that were like, this is what I've been waiting for my entire life. I'm so excited to be a senior. So they're definitely bummed out right now, which is sad because, you know, we can't do anything about it.
So no partying and
right.
celebration.
No prom.
Right. Okay.
And no, just even just having lunch together every day, you know.
Yeah.
And talking about our days. But as for my friends as well, you know, since they're all going, well, one of them is taking a gap year. So I will have, and one of them is going to college locally.
Okay.
But my boyfriend, on the other hand, is going to Ohio.
Oh, which oh, is, yuck.
Which,
oh, I don't
yeah,
mean yuck. That's not very nice. But
No. Yeah. I felt yucky at first too, trust me.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's hard just waiting for this to be over so we can just, you know, go and live out the best lives we can before everyone goes their separate ways.
Yeah. Wow.
But other than my friends preparing for college, you know, accepting the end of their years, you know, they're all doing relatively well and still being creative as well. All of us have a lot of creative outlets, so
yeah,
we're all trying to keep our heads up.
Yeah. So do you, are there people in your circle or your adjacent circles who are like having challenges with this?
Well, one of my friends is a germaphobe, so she definitely had a couple of moments where she was like, see, I told you so. But as she has adjusted to quarantine, she's been doing okay. One of my best friends that lives far away, not far away, she just lives, you know, an hour or two away. Mm-hmm. She was having a bit of a rough time, you know, ups and downs, but that's normal for anyone these days.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So there's no one that I'm very worried about. If anything, all of my friends, if my friends were answering this question, they would all probably say they were worried about me and no one else. But,
oh, isn't that sweet? That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means they give a shit. Yeah, that's nice.
It's good to find those people.
It is. It's priceless. Mm-hmm. So what should I be asking you about this craziness?
Something that I can add is that as a person living with a disability, we know we're already kind of used to the world I guess, being able to hurt us or bring us down, you know, whether it's from other people judging or saying things or just, you know, your body being funky and doing, you know, not the best things.
Right.
Not behaving in an optimal way.
Right.
So I guess just knowing that now there's something, especially for people like me living with, you know, lung conditions and whatnot, knowing that there's something that can very well take us out if it's so pleased.
Right.
It's
right.
Just, it feels not real. It feels fake. It's like, how is this possible? This is like every sci-fi movie that I've been watched.
Right, like, right. It sure is.
How is, you know, it's like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
But at the same time, everyone's getting used to it, which is almost more alarming than the fact that it exists in the first place. Like, we're all just like, yeah, wear a mask and when you go out, you know, don't touch anyone, which is like, it's all very strange, very strange times.
Yeah, I think that we're in the middle of it, let's deal with it, is, you know, resilience. But then I think as we start to either, it's gotten so long that it's hard to keep it the positive up, or it's like things are getting better and then people are feeling weaker, or
right,
you know, like in my experience, like working as a nurse, one of the things that I find is that as people start to get better, that's the riskiest time, because they let their guard down and and they overdo it. And they don't realize that, you know, healing takes time and there is a whole process of, you know, this has been traumatic. It is traumatic.
Right.
And so, you know, as things like start to get better, then people like overdo it, or, you know, then they're all the freak out that they've been suppressing, trying to keep a stiff upper lip or whatever it's called, you know, then it all comes.
Right.
So that's what, you know, I'm like, as a matter of fact, I was just talking to somebody who I interviewed maybe a month before I interviewed you last time, who was, she talked about medical PTSD. You know, she had gone through being in an ICU and having organ failure and being on a ventilator and all the, you know, PTSD she had to deal with. And so we were talking and she's thinking about that that's the next epidemic is people recovering, which is really stressful. So, and in a way, I feel like that's where maybe I'm being an idiot and you can, like, you know, call me on it, you know, in, you know, a year when I talk to you again. But I feel like we're more used to those ups and downs.
Right.
You know, we go through these crises and then, okay, then we find a new equilibrium and we suffer a little bit just getting back to that new equilibrium and, oh my God, what happened to me? And then you're afraid of this is going to happen again and every little symptom is like a major flare when it isn't. We have experience with that, so it doesn't seem so weird to experience it again. So, yeah, anyway. Well, Sarah, I love talking to you. I'm glad you're doing as well as you're doing. I know we're going to stay in touch.
Yes.
So, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. Give your mom a hug for me.
Yes.
Because, you know, who knows? Those hugs.
Right.
Oh, God. I can't, it kills me. I can't hug my grandkids, my sons. That just, that just kills me. So far, that's the worst. I'm glad that's the worst. You know, I'm not wanting for food. I'm not wanting for income, housing. It's the hugs. Yeah. All right.
Wanting for hugs.
Yeah. Take care of yourself. Send me those clips.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
A month ago, I said this on my podcast. It's worth repeating. 61 million people in the U.S. have different abilities than you, temporarily able-bodied people. We have a 15-minute advantage on you. We know how to deal with unwelcome, strange circumstances. We know how to ask for and offer help. We know how to build a team. We know how to navigate from a chair, a bed, a fog, in pain, with canes. We know how to live at peak performance with a dizzying array of conditions, circumstances, and confusions. We have a 15-minute advantage on you. Don't underestimate the importance of 15 minutes. You need us. We want to share and teach. We have much to share and teach. We are not expendable. When you have the opportunity and bandwidth, reach out to the less able body. Spend some time with us. Connect, listen, learn, and appreciate. You won't have far to look for us. We're everywhere. We're in this together, me and you and the world. Stick around and listen to Fred Small singing The Talking Wheelchair Blues.
I went for a jog in the city air. I met a woman in a wheelchair. Said, I'm sorry to see your handicap. She says, what makes you think a thing like that? And she looks at me real steady. And she says, going to drag. So she starts to roll and I start to run, and she beat the pants off my aching buns. You know, going uphill I'd hit my stride, but coming down she'd sail on by. When I finally caught up with her, she says, not bad for somebody able-bodied. You know, with adequate care and supervision, you could be taught simple tasks. So how about something to eat? I said that it'd suit me fine. We're near a favorite place of mine, so we moseyed on over there. But the only way in was up a flight of stairs. Gee, I never noticed that, says I. No problem, the maitre d' replies. There's a service elevator around the back. So we made it upstairs on the elevator with the garbage, flies, and last week's potatoes. I set it like a table for my friend and me. He says, I'll try to find one out of the way. Then he whispers, she gonna be sick? I mean, pee on the floor or throw some kind of fit? I said, no, I don't think so. I think she once had polio, but that was 20 years ago. You see, the fact of the matter is, if the truth be told, she can't walk. So he points to a table, she wheels her chair. Some people look down and others stare. And a mother grabs her little girl, says, keep away, honey, that woman's ill. We felt right welcome. Then a fellow walks up and starts to babble about the devil and the Holy Bible. Says, woman, the march with flesh is sin. Pray to Jesus, you'll walk again. Then the waiter says, what can I get for you? I said, I'll have your best imported brew. And he says, what about her? I said, who? He says, her. Oh, you mean my friend here? He says, yeah. I say, what about her? Well, what does she want? Why don't you ask her? Then he apologizes. Says he never waited on a cripple before. So she talks to the manager when we're through. She says there's some things you could do to make it easier for folks in wheelchairs. He says, oh, it's not necessary. Think I've never come here anyway. Well, I said goodnight to my newfound friend. I said I'm beginning to understand a little bit of how it feels to roll through life on a set of wheels. She says, don't feel sorry, don't feel sad. I take the good along with the bad. I was arrested once at a protest demo, and the police had to let me go. See, we were protesting the fact that public buildings weren't wheelchair accessible. Turned out the jail was the same way. Anyway, I look at it this way. 50 years, you'll be in worse shape than I am now. See, we're all the same, this human race. Some of us are called disabled. And the rest, well, the rest of you are just temporarily able-bodied.
See the show notes, previous podcasts, and other resources on my website, www.health-hats.com/pod. Please subscribe or contribute. If you like it, share it. Thanks. See you around the block.